Muhammad, Disc 6.
Mutiny was in the air. The fragile solidarity that had united the pilgrims throughout this dangerous expedition was shattered, and the deep rifts that had always existed within the Ummah became suddenly apparent. Omar leapt to his feet and strode over to Abu Bakr. "Are we not Muslims and they polytheists?" he demanded. "Why should we agree to what is demeaning to our religion?" Abu Bakr was also disturbed, but managed to reply that, in spite of everything, he still had faith in the Prophet. Later, Omar said that if he could have found 100 companions to follow him, he would have defected. At this point, he could not share Muhammad's vision. Like many of the Medinese Muslims and those emigrants who came from the more peripheral, disadvantaged Quraishian clans, he did not want merely to reform the social order of Mecca, but to overthrow it and replace it with a purely Quranic regime. Omar was courageous, unselfish, and passionately committed to the ideals of justice and equity, which had been so lacking in the Meccan polity. But he was not a man of hilm, of forbearance, and was still fired by the fierce impetuosity of Jahiliyyah. He did not understand that the values of gentleness and non-violence were also central to the Islamic ideal. He was a man of action, prone to reach, Jahili-like, for his sword without thinking matters through. Faced with Muhammad's apparent about-face at Hudaybiyah, he was bewildered and confused. After defeating the Quraysh at the Battle of the Trench, the obvious plan would have been to press on and destroy them unilaterally. But this had never been Muhammad's intention. The downfall of Mecca would be an inconceivable catastrophe for Arabia, a backward region that sorely needed the commercial genius of the Quraysh, who would never see the point of Islam while the war continued to fuel destructive anger and hatred on both sides. By abandoning the economic blockade, Muhammad hoped to win them over. He could see further than anybody else at Hudaybiyah. Far from caving in weakly, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was moving toward an unprecedented political and religious solution for the Arabs, and that meant that he could never do the expected thing, because that would bind him to the unhappy status quo. When he looked at the stunned, miserable faces of the pilgrims, Muhammad had to tell them that they must accept the terms of the treaty because Allah had dictated them. This did not satisfy the rank and file, who had expected some kind of miracle, and it was intensely disappointing to the hypocrites, who had joined the Ummah simply for worldly gain. The atmosphere became even more strained when the Muslims heard the wording of the treaty. Muhammad summoned Ali to write to his dictation, and when he began with the usual Muslim formula, "In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful," Suhail objected.